Hi, this is Danette Gorman from HelpSyriasKids.org. We are connecting the Hudson community with a Syrian refugee camp in Ketermaya, Lebanon. You're listening to WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear from Melanie Trimble from the New York Civil Liberties Union about the 6-3 decision released yesterday by the United States Supreme Court allowing concealed weapons in New York. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
Saturday, June 25th, turn out to the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale for a performance from Catskill's Brian DeWan. He'll be performing with tape cartridges, a melody djinn, an accordion, an auto harp, and his own voice. Hear one of Catskill's most notorious performers in a unique setting in the Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale, 3 p.m. Saturday, June 25th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
CNN is reporting that the U.S. Supreme Court on June 23rd struck down a New York law limiting those who can carry concealed weapons. Governor Kathy Hochul called the ruling, and I quote, outrageous, end quote, especially during, and I quote, a moment of national reckoning on gun violence, end quote. Hochul said she may call a special legislative session, pass a new law in response. She tweeted, and I quote, "Just as we swiftly pass nation-leading gun reform legislation, I will continue to do everything in my power to keep New Yorkers safe from gun violence," end quote. The court's decision was 6-3, split on political positions, with Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, John Roberts, Burt Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett voting to strike down New York's gun law, and Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, Alina Kagan dissenting. Thomas wrote in the majority decision, and I quote, "Because the state of New York issues public carry licenses only when an applicant demonstrates a special need for self-defense, we conclude that the state licensing regime violates the Constitution," end quote. New York officials predicted that the murder and suicide rate in New York would likely rise after the ruling. New York Attorney General Letitia James tweeted that her office, and I quote, "will continue to do everything in our power to protect New Yorkers from gun violence and preserve our state's common sense gun laws," end quote. The ruling may lead to others. Steve Vladeck, a professor at the University of Texas School of Law, said, and I quote, "beyond voiding the laws of the six states that, like New York, condition the right to carry in public on a discretionary judgment by state officials, the majority's expansion of what the Second Amendment protects will have monumental ramifications far beyond carrying firearms in public. On everything from age restrictions to assault weapons bans to limits on high-capacity magazines," end quote. Read more about this story at CNN.
Heather Bellow reports for the Berkshire Eagle that officials at the Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation have blocked swimming access at Bashbish Falls. Barriers now block access point that for decades made it possible to swim at the falls, which straddles the Massachusetts and New York state border. The hiking trails are open, however. Quote, "it was always a dangerous place," unquote, said Brian Tobin, the town of Mount Washington Select Board chair and acting police chief. Quote, "people ignored all the signage that said no swimming. With the pandemic, the traffic got a lot worse. People were using it as a swimming hole, and that just wasn't a good idea," unquote. The state has also built a new parking lot with limited spaces, Tobin said. People also can park at Taconic State Park on the New York side. Tobin says he understands how disappointing it is to those who yearn to swim at Bashbish, but the action taken was absolutely necessary. Quote, "people always slip and fall. We don't have the resources to police it and keep people out of the water," unquote, he said. The falls amid the park gorges and ravine forest are one of the highlights of the 424-acre Bashbish Falls State Park. In August 2018, a man died after slipping and falling into the water on a Friday evening. It took rescuers 2 days to locate his body. Three deaths in the 1960s prompted the state to patrol the park and prohibit swimming. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Bill Williams reports for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Department of Public Works closed indefinitely the Stahl Bridge, which crosses the Roloff Jansen Kill on Pleasantville Road between Claremont and Livingston on June 21st because of deterioration. Officials are instead having cars detour on Route 9 and East Curly Corners Road in Dutchess County. The bridge was a one-lane steel deck bridge with a 5-ton weight limit. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that the May unemployment rate for the Hudson Valley is 2.9%, down from 4.6% in May of 2021. Because of the low rate, many jobs are going unfulfilled, and businesses continue to offer higher starting wages and sign-on bonuses. Columbia County had the lowest rate of joblessness in May at 2.4%. Delaware and Greene counties had the highest rate at 3.1%. Ulster and Dutchess counties each had a 2.8% unemployment rate. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
MidHudson News reports that New York environmental conservation officers and spill responders were in Catskill Creek in the village of Catskill to clean up a diesel spill from a boat.
Environmental officers deployed approximately 100 feet of hard boom and 75 feet of absorbent boom to contain the spill. The stainless steel diesel tank on a boat leaked, and its bilge pump released an unknown amount of diesel fuel into the creek. The DEC is monitoring the cleanup area, but contained the spill. The Catskill Creek flows into the nearby Hudson River. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
Kathleen Moore reports for the Times Union. In a letter to the Albany City School District, the New York Civil Liberties Union has alleged the district applied its dress code in a discriminatory manner that may have violated the U.S. Constitution when it disciplined students who wore sports bras at track practice. The NYCLU asked the district to change its dress code and expunge the suspensions given to 13 athletes last month. The NYCLU made the point that boys were practicing shirtless while the girls wore sports bras. But according to the students, only the girls were told to put on shirts until they complained that it was unfair. Quote, it appears that district officials have discriminatorily enforced the dress code against girl athletes, and particularly against black girls and other girls of color, in a manner that reinforces invidious race and sex stereotypes potentially in violation of the 14th and First Amendments to the U.S. Constitution, Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972, and corresponding state and local constitutional and statutory protections, unquote, the NYCLU wrote. In a written response, Albany School Superintendent Kawita Adams said the students were not punished for wearing sports bras, but for their, quote, inappropriate behavior, unquote, after they were told to put on shirts. Quote, none of the student athletes involved in this matter received an athletic suspension because of their attire or because they expressed disagreement with the portions of our student code of conduct that reference dress code, unquote, she said. The school's dress code is also in the wrong, the NYCLU wrote, asking the district to, quote, revise its dress code to eliminate provisions that reflect and reinforce gender stereotypes, unquote. Changes to the district code of conduct, which includes the dress code, will be reviewed at the school board on July 7th and a vote taken on July 21st. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, patchy fog before 7 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with the temperature high near 82 degrees. Friday night, patchy fog after 3 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And on Saturday, patchy fog before 7 a.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny and hot with a temperature high near 90 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 64 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, tune into all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7, including at 10 a.m. it's time for the Global Agogo Show with new music from around the world. The Sugar Shack Jukebox is on at noon after the local news, live from Hudson, from the WGXC studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. Data Cult Audio Show has experimental musicians from around the world at 2 p.m. 4 p.m. we're live from Acre with the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 6 p.m. we're live from Catskill with Clubhouse Radio, local teenagers talking about their issues and playing their music. And then there's Hudson teenagers at 7 p.m. on the radio talking about what they've been reading on the Bound by Books program. At 8 p.m. it's time for Hudson Valley Sounds, all local music from the area. And at 10 p.m. it's time for the Friday Night Vibe Session with DJ Var, live from the WGXC Hudson studio on 90.7 FM WGXC.
get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The WGXC community calendar online has all sorts of local events in it, including the performances from Rashid Zakat and Alua Femi at the Avalon Lounge on Sunday, June 26. WGXC will have a live webcast of the performances at WGXC.org. Click on the Listen button to tune in. Waveform artists Rashid Zakat and Alua Femi perform a virtual dance party they're calling Revival, with sonic transmissions from a black spiritual and ecstatic experience. You can tune in their radio broadcast on 90.7 FM the day before, Saturday, June 25th at 4 p.m. on WGXC, or turn out in person to hear Rashid Zakat and Alu Afemi Sunday, June 26th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
This is Mitch McConnell when I'm up in the Catskills to go hunt bear and visit my friends in the Greene County Legislature. I always tune into WGXC. I love that weird show, the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, but it's not on very often. What a bunch of crazy Yankees up there. Where is that station again? Oh, now, remember, it's at 90.7 FM on the dial in my Lexus. I wish we had something like that in Kentucky. Don't forget to vote, y'all.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, June 24th. Early morning temperatures range from 52 degrees in Hunter to 56 in Kingston. Soil temperature is a safe and comfortable 63 degrees. Some patchy fog this morning should disappear by 9 a.m. A high of 83 happens at 5 p.m. Dew points in the low 60s will make it feel a little humid, especially in the morning. Overnight temperatures fall to 59 degrees. Expect more mugginess. Saturday looks similar but even warmer, reaching 89 degrees by 4 p.m. 64 degrees overnight isn't going to stop a lot of air conditioners out there. That moisture will still be hanging in the air. Sunday is looking mostly dry. Things could change by the time it actually rolls through, but right now it looks like a hot afternoon in the low 90s and some storm activity showing up near dark. Monday will be more comfortable, although rainy, all day with a high of 74. Pollen levels for today will be medium, and it will stay that way all weekend. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 12:14 a.m., then low tide at 6:58 a.m., high tide again at 12:33 p.m. and low tide once again at 6:58 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 72 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:21 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:17 a.m. Again, all of that data was for Friday, June 24th. If you're hearing this on the weekend repeat, then be advised, this is your exclusive Rip Van Winkle Bridge Sandbar Times forecast. Still experimental, but still getting better. Regardless of the vegetation seen, the soil on the sandbar will be visible on Saturday between 6 and 9 a.m. and again between 6 and 9 p.m. On Sunday, it will be visible from 6:50 a.m. to 10:10 a.m. and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Okay, looking way up, we see I was caught off guard by a power outage at Stanford University, and we are currently in a plasma stream released several days ago. Hopefully, we get the coronal hole monitoring back in good standing soon. Solar wind speed is currently 426 kilometers per second at 4.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 69. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Philip Grant of Nassau, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The Jazz Disturbance features jazz and other improvised music. Tune in on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wave Farm radio app on your smartphone. Playlists are posted at facebook.com/CKDisturbance.
Now, from Survival comes an economical do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved and easy to assemble. Takes just a weekend.
Get maximum protection from nuclear fallout for your family.
See a survival shelter today.
Yeh manja. Yeh manja. Yeh kachu. Uchishya.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
The gun culture has now possessed everyone all the way up to even to the Supreme Court.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul is calling for a special legislative session after the Supreme Court struck down a law in her state, placing certain limitations on open carry. Supporters argued the ruling protects the right of self-defense. Vice President Kamala Harris echoed Hochul's concerns.
It, I believe, defies common sense and the Constitution of the United States.
Meanwhile, the Senate broke the filibuster on a gun control deal, clearing the way for passage as early as today. 15 Republicans joined all 50 Democrats to move forward on the legislation, which faces GOP opposition in the House. Representative Andrew Clyde of Georgia called it gun control.
The Senate is recklessly moving forward with their gun-grabbing legislation, thereby moving our nation down a dangerous path of peril and lawlessness. Let me be clear, the Senate package is not a compromise. It's gun control.
After mass shootings in New York and Texas, a bipartisan group of senators developed the compromise measure to toughen background checks, incentivize states to pass red flag laws, which allow a court to temporarily remove firearms from a person believed to be in danger to themselves or others, and invest in school safety, mental health, and violence prevention programs. Three Justice Department officials testify before the January 6th committee. Republican Adam Kinzinger questioned former acting Deputy Attorney General Richard Donahue about Trump's plan to fire Jeffrey Rosen, the acting Attorney General, and install Jeffrey Clark, who was willing to use federal government powers to help overturn the 2020 election.
The president said, just say the election was corrupt and leave the rest to me and the Republican congressmen. So, Mr. Donahue, that's a direct quote from President Trump, correct?
That's an exact quote from the president, yes.
Testimony also revealed at least six Republican lawmakers asked for a presidential pardon for their role in attempting to overturn election results, including Mo Brooks of Alabama, who defended the request, saying Democrats would abuse the judicial system. The Biden administration met with Big Oil as it faces pressure over gas prices averaging nationally just under $5 a gallon. Both sides said the talks were constructive, but no solutions were reached. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm called for collaboration with the industry to strengthen the country's energy security for the long haul.
The only way out of these boom and bust cycles is to break that sole reliance, and that means diversifying our fuel sources by deploying clean energy.
New data from Ballotpedia revealed there were 152 recall efforts against 240 officials in the first half of this year, a small decline from last year. 20 officials were removed from office, and the target of most recall efforts were school board and city council members. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Randy J. Stein reports for Radio World that the National Association of Broadcasters and National Public Radio are among the groups opposed to the Federal Communications Commission's allowing zone casting. The new technology lets a radio station that covers a large area use FM boosters to geo-target some content in specific areas. So in New York, for instance, WAMC is a network of translator stations all broadcasting the same signal from the Canadian border to the outskirts of New York City. Under this new technology, they could geo-target local news for, say, Newburgh or Kingston, while different local news plays in Albany. The National Association of Broadcasters, a trade group for the biggest corporate radio stations in the United States, cites supposed interference the new technology would create for its opposition. National Public Radio claims the technology would threaten to cause widespread harm to the fidelity of the FM dial. Neither support those claims with many facts. More likely, both organizations want to ward off competition. In the past, the NAB and NPR both opposed allowing community-run low-power FM stations on the air because they did not want the competition. In that case, all the industry claims that new, small, low-power stations would cause interference to big corporate stations proved false. In this case, smaller broadcasters are in favor of zone casting as a way to better serve those listeners. But if smaller stations serve their listeners well, the NAB and NPR seem to believe it will come at the expense of larger stations. In 2009, a Federal Communications Commission report found that small community radio stations do not impact the ratings or revenue of large commercial stations. Quote, our final conclusion is that the analysis finds no statistically reliable evidence that low-power FM stations have a consistent effect on the economic performance of full-service commercial FM stations, unquote, the report said. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Albany Symphony, presenting a community concert and fireworks on Friday, June 24th at Basilica Hudson. Food and drink vendors and family fun zone at 5 p.m., followed at 7:30 by a program of new music and summertime favorites by the Albany Symphony and fireworks grand finale. Open to the public. Information at albanysymphony.com.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pig.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We are talking with Melanie Trimble, who is the regional director of the New York Civility Liberties Union Capital District Chapter. And on Thursday, the United States Supreme Court, in a 6-3 decision, conservatives versus liberals, basically threw out a century-old New York state law that required those seeking a permit to carry a concealed weapon to show that there was a special, you know, threat to them that required them to have the gun and as a concealed weapon. And the United States Supreme Court said, nope, that, you know, violates the Second Amendment. So, Melanie, obviously the decision just, you know, came out very recently. But, you know, what's sort of the general reaction, you know, to what the court has done?
Well, you know, it's really very unfortunate that in the midst of nationwide gun tragedy, Supreme Court is striking down these regulations that have promoted bolstering safety and protecting people's lives in New York City. It's just incredible that they're taking away the measures that really do keep people safe from gun safety, from gun, you know, forcing states to allow people to walk around with hidden weapons of war just makes people more fearful and feel threatened just to be in public spaces. So we're very concerned that the backlash of this will be a very negative, and it's very disheartening.
Now, non-lawyers and particularly younger people, you know, may not, you know, realize that this so-called Second Amendment, the right to a gun, actually is a relatively recent change by the United States Supreme Court. Certainly when I was a law student a couple decades ago, the idea that you had a right to own a gun because of the Constitution, you know, you would have flunked the constitutional law class. How is it that the Supreme Court seems like they pretty much are willing to strike out in a new direction and not particularly be that concerned about several centuries of decisions sort of leading the opposite way?
Yeah, the Supreme Court sort of distorted the Second Amendment in 2008. We believe that it's never been about arming individuals. It's really about gun regulations to prohibit a militia. I mean, you know, so the idea that the Second Amendment means that individuals have a right to carry a gun, and particularly to conceal any weapons out in public, is just not very counter to what we believe is representative in the Second Amendment. You know, what we're concerned about, of course, is people's safety. Not only that, but also their fear of going out in public spaces. It's been demonstrated quite clearly that in recent incidences that as we our political divisions divide, the people are using violence to express themselves and their displeasure, and giving people the right to carry concealed weapons will only exacerbate the problem that we have already with gun violence in America.
Now, the United States Supreme Court, you know, is, you know, seen as the ultimate decision maker in terms of what our laws are allowed to do or not allowed to do. But at the same time, the Supreme Court tends to leave open the doors a little bit with their decisions, you know, unless your situation is directly on point to what they decided. So are there any avenues that, you know, those who wish to see some reasonable control of guns, particularly concealed weapons, are likely to pursue at this point? Or, you know, how does one respond to the United States Supreme Court in this 6-3 decision?
Right. Well, the decision leaves open a place that it prohibits, well, it doesn't prohibit, but it allows for regulation to be placed in sensitive places, which has not been clearly defined, but we believe that it would include places like subways, schools, churches, places of protest, places where alcohol is being served, and high density public areas. So given that through the decision, we're hoping that New York State, the legislature, and the governor sees very clearly the direction ahead in order to regulate guns in those sensitive areas, at least, to take what has come out of the Supreme Court and bolster the laws in New York State to go as far as we can to protect the public from gun violence in the future. So there are things that can be done legislatively, and we hope that the legislature sees clear to do that, as well as the governor, who has pledged, by the way, to work with gun safety and trying to rein in our use of weapons in public spaces.
No, I remember living in Arizona several decades ago, and that is a state where it is has been legal to carry openly guns, and it was always quite startling when you see somebody, you know, being a little agitated and running at you, and you notice that they actually have a gun on them, and it's like, oh, is this guy just late for a meeting, or is, you know, something, you know, more sinister occurring? You know, for those who read tea leaves, you know, what does this tell us, anything new about the direction of the Supreme Court, or is just that this 6-3 split between the conservatives and the liberals is just getting firmer?
Oh, I don't know. So if I want to talk about the history of the legacy of the Supreme Court at this point, you know, that knowing that we're waiting for an awfully big decision that takes women's right to control their bodies that may be coming down. I mean, it's pretty clear to everybody in what direction this court is headed. I don't think I need to comment on it. But one thing that's pretty clear is that we're looking at a very dangerous time for all of us, not only being able to protect ourselves from people who are concealing weapons in public spaces, but also to be able to protect women's bodies and their right to choose. So, you know, it's a scary time for all of us. I think we need to participate more in our democracy than we have. We've been too complacent over the last few years, probably too many years at this point. We need to start really participating in government, voting, using our strength to and our opinions to move this country in the direction of sanity, as opposed to taking rights away from people or to instilling rights for people who want to destroy others.
Well, you're talking about voting. Are there particular voting rights measures? I know, you know, New York just signed in, I guess, the John Lewis voting rights law, but are there other, you know, voting rights issues that the Civil Liberties Union is looking at?
Well, the ACLU has worked very hard to try and get some national legislation that will rein in these states from imposing all kinds of impediments to people getting to the voting booth. And gerrymandering is a huge problem. So we're hoping that, you know, our federal legislators will see clear to really work on enfranchising people to be able to vote, to be able to participate in democracy, so that we don't shut the government down and become, you know, one that doesn't respond to the people and their voices.
And if people want to keep up to speed with what the New York Civil Liberties Union is doing, particularly in the Capital Region, how best to do that?
Oh, they can always go to our website, nyclu.org. Locally, they should just email me, mtrimble@nyclu.org. We're hoping to do some work with the students at Albany High that on the track team that had have run into trouble with the way they dress. You know, these are clearly infractions that should never have been brought against these young ladies. And we're hoping to prevail there and get all of the students exonerated from any kind of disciplinary charges that they have faced. And they ought to be able to wear what the boy, you know, whatever they, you know, think is appropriate for sportswear.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We've been talking to Melanie Trimble, the regional director of the New York Civil Liberties Union Capital District Chapter. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Mela Mataga maton la manom en konfa Tani la tobi tambe bwan tabwe pon Pomboti tabwe Mama nyani nyama tegendi me nyula tabwe moni Ala pon son donne meme nize papa longola Yeta anugu mengo abome moninga
morning gun, bomb, hell on good, morning gun, Gabriela, Yamdi Manyaga. Morning gun, morning gun, morning gun, morning gun, morning gun.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. It's the end of the week, so we're updating some recent democracy news from Washington, D.C., Texas, Nebraska, Massachusetts, and reminding you of June 28 state primaries. The January 6 committee has delayed next week's scheduled hearings until July, having received new documentary evidence of the Trump family and new materials on events before and after the U.S. Capitol insurrection. At last weekend's Texas Republican convention, the updated platform espouses that the 2020 election was stolen, that President Biden is only the acting president, and calls for Texas to hold a vote to secede from the United States. A Nebraska man has been found guilty of threatening an election official on the official's Instagram page, posting, "Do you feel safe? You shouldn't. Do you think Soros will or can protect you?" The man faces up to 2 years in prison. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker signed a bill making permanent accommodations for early voting and mail-in voting. The bill did not include same-day registration, however, as was sought by democracy advocates. Advocates in San Diego have pushed off an effort to implement ranked choice voting for city elections until 2024 because of soft support in the city council. Meanwhile, Alaska's first statewide election using RCV is August 16th. Finally, voters in Virginia, Colorado, Illinois, New York, Oklahoma, and Utah should plan to vote in their June 28th state primaries. Why? Because Granny D said, democracy is not something we have, it's something we do. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Tom Rowe in Agra, and it's time for the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast, which we start each day telling you about the local price for fossil fuels in Greene County. The lowest price, according to Gas Buddy, for a gallon of gas is $4.93 at the Stewart Shops in Cairo. Then we look at what fossil fuels are doing to our air quality. And National Weather Service in Albany predicts a air quality of 11 on Friday, which is a very good air quality, as storms the last few days have cleared things out. National Weather Service in Albany predicts it should be cloudy on Friday, then gradually becoming sunny for the solar panels and flowers and bees, with a high of 77 and a light north wind. Friday night should be clear with a low around 57 and a light west wind. Saturday should be sunny with a high of 83 and a light northwest wind spinning local windmills. Saturday night mostly clear is the forecast with a low around 63. And then Sunday should be sunny with a high of 85 and a low around 64. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Here's 2021 music from Modor Maktor. This is Afrique Victime.
Thank you. Voting in the New York primary election begins next Tuesday, and ahead of the kickoff, a new voting rights bill has been signed into law this week. The John R. Lewis Voting Rights Act of New York includes many measures from the federal bill of a similar name that was passed by the U.S. House but got held up in the Senate. Melody Lopez with the New York State Civic Engagement Table says the bill restores preclearance, where jurisdictions with a history of voter discrimination are required to get any changes to their election code reviewed. She notes it also expands language access, protects against voter intimidation, and includes tools to combat voter suppression and dilution.
This is really creating a model for the nation in terms of how states can respond to the whittling away of voting rights law on the federal level, and also just kind of a model to rebut some of the suppressive voting laws that have passed in other parts of the country.
She adds the bill also would create a central